Welcome back to the From Girls to Women podcast, where the voices of young Black females are elevated and celebrated. Hi, I'm your host, Dr. Marquita Cherie Dorsey, and today we're in conversation with Ms. Elena Kent. She shares candidly her journey towards mental health awareness and wellness and how she achieved great success, to be honest, but also how she empowered her peers through a range of different fundraising efforts. What a wonderful treat you're in for. So stick around to the end for last thoughts about this journey. Well, thank you, Ms. Elena, for joining us today. I'm excited to hear about what you believe is one of an area that's most passionate to you. And I know you've done so much work around mental health. So I'm grateful that you've taken this time to join us. And I'm sure so many people are going to learn so many things from you. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. I just graduated, so yeah! I am free and grateful to be here today.
Yes. No, that's real excitement, real energy y'all hearing, okay? It really is. I'm proud of you. Congratulations, Elena.
Thank you so much. And I feel like this interview is just perfect timing. I have so many wonderful things to talk about, and I'm just grateful to be able to share what I've learned and what I've gone through with your audience.
Yes, ma'am. So you began sharing your story around the value of mental health. And as a young Black woman, if you don't mind, would you mind sharing your age so our audience will know?
Yes, so I'm 23.
Yep,
23. And I'll be 24 October 20th of this year.
Nice. So at this age, right, mental health can sometimes get past folks, or they're obviously in the Black community, often in Black community, and hopefully that's going away somewhat, or we're getting past it. But historically, there's been a stigma around mental health, mental health services, or mental health challenges that we might be experiencing. So you have quite a few things happening, but your story and your experience with mental health really touched me, and I believe it'll be very beneficial for others to hear and really understand your journey towards gaining control over mental health for yourself.
Yes. So my story is a little different, and I'll kind of go into some details, but from the start, college kind of forces you into your actual self. I'll say that. And if you've gone through school, you kind of know what I'm talking about when I say that. You're forced to go through different things with your family, relationships, friends, and it's just a lot of internal work. So you're kind of put in a position of sink or swim when it comes to realizing your next level of growth. And that's exactly what happened to me regarding every different stage of my life, whether it was, again, relationships, friendships, and just figuring out what was next for me and how I needed to work on myself to get to the next level.
And so when you say thinking about like yourself and what's best for you, how did that transpire in your life? You know, because sometimes, at this age anyway, I know many people are challenged with hearing, what other people have to say about their lives or what they should do. You know, sometimes it can be challenging to make your own decisions and figure out your own way. How did that transpire in your life?
Yeah, realizing I wanted to be the change that I wanted to see. And with that, that's a heavier question for me as a Black woman, because I don't think we realize how much generational trauma we carry. And that is something I realized at an early age. And I've always been told a lot of people don't realize that till later in life. But because of the situations I was forced to go through, I had to open my eyes at a young age and deal with things that made me realize, okay, this stops with me. Everything stops with me. We're doing something different because I want different in my life and I want better for my family. So with that realization, I was able to actually set things in motion and start actually acting on the changes I wanted to see with the way I carried myself, with the way I spoke to my family, with the things I did and are still doing. So again, it just started to, I had to walk the walk, right? I had to actually be about it and stop talking about being the change I wanted to see and do the things I wanted to see.
So Elena, if you can go back a bit and tell mm-hmm. us what triggered that thinking, right? You mentioned right. generational trauma and mm-hmm. leading up to just your, what I think of it as your evolution of mental health, mm-hmm. right? Towards mental mm-hmm. health, rather. What was the experience that triggered your decision to be the change, right? To make that shift?
Yeah, so I'll go into my story a little bit.
Okay.
Because that's really honestly where it began. And I thought it was my ending, but it was really a beginning.
Mm.
So my freshman year, it's a deep story, but my freshman year, when I got to Mizzou in 2017, that fall, kind of came to school by myself, but I knew Mizzou was the perfect place for me. Had a good support system here. My best friend was here. So I had no issues with that. But then along the way, in that first month of school, I started to really face some mental health issues. But at that time, I did not know that I was facing mental health issues. So I just started to notice things like lack of attention span. Nothing excited me. Even watching movies. I love watching movies. Mm-hmm. Nothing could get my attention. Mm-hmm. And so it was little things that started to build up that even my friends couldn't see because I would mask it. And so eventually I was like, okay, let me start to do a little bit of research about it. And so somewhere in the midst of me trying to figure out what was going on with myself, I had a family situation happen. And with that situation, my mom and my family didn't really tell me what was going on. My mom actually went to a coma on my birthday, 2017, October 20th, 2017. And so it was a buildup of everything. So the last thing I remember, honestly, from that time frame, from August to October, was spending my birthday crying in an emergency room. I mean, just boo-hooing. And
yeah.
So during that time period, you know, I kept a lot of hope, kept hope that things would change. And honestly, that time frame, I don't even remember having a lot of anxiety issues. It was just more so survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
So during that semester, I was able to keep a 3.7 GPA.
Wow.
While sitting in the hospital with my mom almost every day, going back and forth to school. And so by the end of this, November 18, 2017, my mom passed away. She just slowly lost brain function. And so I don't think I came out of survival mode from that until my junior year.
Mm.
Honestly, during that time, I just recall just floating.
Okay.
And that's the best way to describe it. Literally just floating.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I genuinely don't know how I got that GPA in school. It was just, those who had to be in survival mode understand.
Mm-hmm.
There was no time for anything else. It was sink or swim. I had to decide to stay in school. I had to mm-hmm. decide that I was going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was a decision. And so with that, that's the time where I realized either I'm going to sink or I'm going to swim.
Mm.
And sink was not an option.
Yeah, see, that part right there, like sinking right. is not an option. I think
not an option.
That's the part about what you talk about, survival mode, that yeah. maybe others, particularly those that look like you and me,
right.
are constantly feeling the pressure of survival mode. Would you agree?
Oh, I totally agree. But sometimes it is necessary. But there is a point, especially as a Black woman, we have to realize we cannot carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And we have to ask for help. And we have to come out of survival mode. It's a mode. It's not a lifestyle.
Nice. Yes. It's a mode, not a lifestyle.
It's a mode. Yeah. Yes. And we can't get stuck in that. But you have to do the things you need to do at the time to get through it. However, there comes a point in time where it has to stop. And you have to move on from that and heal from that. Because it's a heavy time
mm-hmm.
with whatever you're going through. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter why you're in survival mode. You have to come out of that
mm-hmm.
and breathe, especially as a Black woman. You have to get that time back. You have to realize you can't stay in survival mode forever.
Yep. And so tell us how or what steps did you take to come mm-hmm. out of survival mode? Because first of all, I want to just acknowledge the fact that you did a lot in survival mode, right? Like maintaining yes. a super high GPA, still away. Let's point out the fact that you're still away from home. Most of your support yes. systems, right? You're on a college campus. You yourself mm-hmm. are trying to just adjust in survival mode, having lost your mom. Mm-hmm. And trying to manage your own challenges with stabilizing your own mental health. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mode, not a lifestyle. So how did you make the shift?
Yeah. So I think the shift came to me. And that was something I had a hard time accepting. But again, life forces you into things at the right time sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I stayed in survival mode from about my freshman year until the start of my junior year when things just kind of came to a halt. And all of a sudden, it was like I was seeing things differently. And the emotions I had suppressed for 2 years all came out at one time. And I think that's honestly what forced me into realizing what was actually going on internally, because I was one of those people, in survival mode, you know, there's no time for emotions. I have to do what I have to do to get to the next step. But those feelings don't just go away. I never grieved. I never grieved in 2 years. And so my junior year, when life just started to get real, I was starting to think about my career and different things like that. Every feeling I had put off for 2 years just suddenly crashed down on me. And I had no choice but to face them and try to get through them. And honestly, I tell people junior year was harder on me when those emotions came on me than actually having to bury my mom a lot of times. Like, those feelings were so heavy. It was 2 years of emotions, 2 years of just pain, grieving from school, realizing that I had put all those emotions off just so I could get a good GPA. And so, again, it was forced on me just naturally. But I'm very appreciative that I spent junior year trying to work through some of those emotions I was feeling. And again, that was an internal journey. That wasn't me talking to my friends about it. I wasn't able to get to that stage. It was a very personal journey. So I spent a lot of time in my room just crying. And a lot of people don't know that because, again, when you're in survival mode or the superwoman stage, you're still taking on other things. So at that time, I was still excelling in school. I was still heavily involved in everything I was doing. I had just joined a sorority. I had piled on so much to try to block those feelings, but it did not happen. So I was doing the things I wanted to do, but I was coming home and crying every single night. And so it was around that time that I realized, okay, something has to be done. And that's when I started to look a little bit more into therapy, counseling, just to see what that would actually look like for me. And I had tried it my freshman year, kind of during the time where my mom was in coma. And it wasn't a great experience. I went to the counseling center on my university's campus, and there was a lot of white counselors. And as a Black woman, there's just a cultural divide. You know, I'm in rural
Missouri. That's honest. You're being honest, right?
Yeah. It's a cultural divide, and I did not want to have to explain why certain things have significance.
Yeah,
I wanted to have someone there who could understand already.
Nice. Right?
And so that's one of the reasons why I stopped going to counseling, because I said, I don't want to have to re-explain all of this stuff. I want a Black woman or a Black provider or somebody who could just understand some of those cultural differences.
Yep.
And so that's, again, why I put off going to counseling at first, but then that's why I wanted to go back, because I knew what I need.
Nice. That's good. And so when you found, well, first, let me just point out that that is such a great point. Sometimes we, you know, when people hear about, you know, folks' preferences around therapy, and if people are out or listeners are challenged with trying to find a therapist, I'll certainly add some links that folks might be able to, be, you know, connect with to find a therapist that perhaps will share their experiences, their lived experiences, right? That might know, because you're coming into this room already trying to deal with the burdens that you have, to now try to deal with the burdens and help the therapist understand what your context is. That's a lot, and not something that anybody would honestly sign up for. I know I won't, and every therapist I've had have been Black women. And I'm grateful for that, because it definitely helps, right? So I appreciate you you sharing that point for sure. Thinking about your experiences in therapy, how would you say, obviously without detail of your, you know, exact sessions, of course, but what would you say would be one of the greatest benefits that you gained when you did identify or finally identified the best therapist for you?
A sense of freedom. I think that would just be the best way to describe it. And I think with counseling, it's more of internal work. You're finally getting to talk about something and leave it there. And not have to worry about it getting back to someone. It's also a sense of freedom and liberation, honestly. Just getting to unveil different parts of yourself and not feeling judged for it. That's the biggest thing. I didn't want to be judged for what I was feeling, because I didn't know anybody who was going through some of these deep feelings like I was. So my friends, I knew they couldn't understand. And so it was important for me to be able to leave those feelings on the table and just have someone understand without that feeling of judgment. during that time. So.
Yeah, yeah. That's fantastic. So, Elena, in one of our previous conversations, you talked about because of your journey, that led you to do some, in my opinion, some pretty dynamic things, right? I mean, I'm so excited for the work that you've done. So please tell us about the initiatives that spun out of these experiences, because you've done some great things.
So although I said that junior year was the worst time of my life, I think I was supposed to be there. I was supposed to be planted and not buried.
I love that.
Starting to sprout.
Right? Planted and not buried. I'm going to take that. That needs to be on a t-shirt, Elena. Planted and not buried.
I live by that because at the time, you feel like you're just in a dark place. Mm-hmm. And you feel like you can't grow through what you're going through.
Yep.
But eventually, I was able to grow through everything. And so my junior year, that's when the feeling set in. But my senior year is when I started to realize, okay, I'm not going to sit around and be sad. I realized that I never wanted anyone to go through the feelings that I felt. Mm-hmm. I was in such a dark place that I said, there's just no way I could ever just let anyone else feel these feelings, especially my Black people.
So
from there, I decided that I wanted to help others, and I wasn't really sure how I was going to do it, but if you know me, you know I'm going to find a way. So my senior year, and I took an extra year, so I had two senior years. So this is my first senior year. I decided that I was going to just give it a shot at helping others. So what I did was I set up a virtual fundraiser. And so I did this in a particular time period. So, of course, everything happened on my birthday, my freshman year with my mom. And so I just decided I never want to celebrate my birthday again. But then I decided, let's use that time to help others, right?
Nice.
So from October 20th through November 18th, I believe that was 2020, I decided to do a virtual fundraiser. And with that, I just created a video where I talked about, hey, I'm raising money for Sheffield's Place in Kansas City, which is a women's shelter. This is a place where my mom frequently donated, and here's the reason why I'm doing it, because I want to honor my mom. Created a short 30-second video, threw it on Instagram, created maybe one flyer with the help of some of my friends, and just decided to go for it. And I believe I raised over $1,000.
Wow.
I raised close to $2,000 with that fundraiser.
Uh-huh.
And I raised $1,000 in a day.
Wow.
So the goal was to raise $1,000 within that whole time frame. I raised $1,000 within that day.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know what? Okay. I can do this. So then I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to take it a step further. And by the next year, I decided to kind of open up more about my journey.
Mm-hmm.
And decided I wanted to help Black students on my campus, because when you're in college and you're a Black student, you carry a lot of burdens.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Family burdens. It's so many things come together at once in college. It's a critical time, and it's a make or break point for your mental health.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so
a make or break point, absolutely.
Make or break point,
right?
For sure.
Uh-huh.
And so I decided that I wanted to open up about my story, which is something I had never done. Uh-huh. Even my friends didn't know about a lot of the details that I was leaving out.
Uh-huh.
So I decided that I wanted to figure out how to help students on my campus directly by breaking barriers. And that, for me, that was breaking the stigma barrier and breaking the financial barrier. So I reached out to a counseling center in Columbia, Missouri called the Hereford House. And they specialize in working with Black and brown individuals. And everyone who works there is minority.
Nice.
So I was like, oh my goodness, this is perfect. It's accessible. I know the staff really can help our Black students, but how can I get this money and figure out a way to put everything together?
Okay.
So from there, I decided to again make a video, but this time kind of going into a little bit more detail about my story and why I'm doing it. And then I gathered a group of friends to kind of help me publicize it, and again created a little flyer. And from there, I raised $3,166.
Wow.
And the goal was only $1,500.
Wow.
Or $2,500. It was $2,500.
And just to be clear, the funds go to...
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so all that money went directly to the Hereford House. And so that pool of money was there for Black students from Mizzou to be able to afford therapy without having to worry about it. All they had to do was say they were a student from Mizzou and identify as Black. And they had to commit to at least two sessions. And that was super important to me.
I wanted
them to know that maybe your first experience isn't perfect because you're going through a lot of different things,
mm-hmm.
but come back the second time.
Nice.
Just come back.
Nice.
So they had to commit to two sessions, and then they could get up to six sessions free. And then I was able to negotiate further from there that they can kind of get a little bit more discount depending on how much insurance you had, different things like that to continue to help them pass those six sessions. So as far as I know, I've had so many students on campus reach out and say they've used that money and it's helped them. So it's an amazing thing to do, and I plan on doing it again in the future.
Lena, that is just, I mean, first of all, that just warms my heart because we talk about, meaning in our society, we talk about, oh, you mm-hmm. should get therapy, you should... But the reality is there are these very barriers that you point out, right? There are financial barriers. Everyone cannot afford, whether it's a copay, many places don't offer sliding scale. Like, this is a real barrier. Now, that's beyond the stigma. Once someone gets past the stigma, then we have to decide, okay, do I even have money to pay for a session, particularly a session when they're, you know, they may have, childcare costs that they have to cover. Right. They may have food costs, right? And even as a student, you still have expenses at school that many times folks just don't have extra money or discretionary money to take care of. So I cannot commend you enough for your innovation, for your heart, for just your passion to help Black individuals, particularly those on your campus that you had contact with, right? Like, you knew that being in this setting creates a level of stress that therapy might be able to assist with. And so I can't commend you enough. I'm just so proud of you and your thinking. And I truly can't wait to see what comes from you next. Like, I know you said you're going to take a break, you know, after graduating. It's fine. You deserve that, you know, but I am truly... truly excited about what's to come for you. What words of encouragement can you offer young Black women when it comes to maintaining healthy mental status, mental space? One thing that you said some time ago when we talked, you said that you chose happiness, that you choose, you choose, right? And even today, you talked about a mode, not a lifestyle. Like, all of these phrases, you need to put these on some t-shirts. Add that to your fundraising. I'll buy all these t-shirts. But what words of encouragement would you share with another young Black female who might be listening to this podcast?
I would definitely say, and it sounds very simple, again, I had to choose to be happy. And when I say that, it's because I've had a lot of things that I could choose to let them take me out for multiple reasons. I could choose to be mean to others because of what I've been through. But I choose to help others grow through what they've gone through. I choose to put my happiness first because I know how short life is. Mm-hmm. And one way I reference my life, and this helps put it into perspective for me, when I say plant and not bury, that's because I think of my life as a garden. And when I think of choosing to be happy, I think of choosing to let people pour into me who are going to pour in love. That's helping me grow. I choose to help others grow in their own gardens. I choose to let others, to surround myself with people who are going to help me grow and nurture me. And so choosing to be happy is choosing to let others love you, choosing to let others help you when you can't help yourself. It's making decisions every day despite the things that could take out and could provide or could be another barrier to your happiness. It's literally choosing to let others love you and to let love happen.
Oh, Lena, that's so special. That is so special. But I'm so happy that you have adopted that as your mode of life. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud of you. I'm so happy to have had this opportunity to meet you, interview you, hear your story. And you've inspired me. Please. I know the listeners have to be inspired because I'm overjoyed with just how you see yourself and what you've overcome. So thank you so much for this time. I'm so happy for you. Is there any information that you want to share with the listeners about what you have coming up next? Anything you want to share about donating money to your causes? Please share.
Yes. So while nothing is officially yet, I'm taking this time after school to put everything into motion. So I'm always looking for a support team, honestly. So you can reach out to me at Alaina, A-L-A-I-N-A, M as in Meekins, Kent, K-E-N-T, at gmail.com. Please feel free to reach out to me. I'm always looking for ways to connect and take this to the next level, because again, while my starting point is Mizzou, this isn't the end point. The goal is to take this hopefully nationally one day. So I'm always looking for those who are willing to partner and support me through this journey.
Absolutely. And I'm definitely excited to be a part of these processes. So thank you so much. I'm so happy to have this time. I know our listeners are grateful as well. Thank you.
No, thank you so much for allowing me to even share my story. Again, I never thought I'd be at a good enough place to share some of the things I've gone through, but it's because of platforms like this, I can share my story and potentially reach out to someone who just needed to hear this. So I'm very grateful and appreciative for you for even allowing me to come to this platform.
Absolutely. You're welcome anytime. Wow. Aren't you glad you stuck around? Miss Kent laid out for us so many jewels. Are you not thrilled that she is a part of our future? One of our future leaders, rallying around mental health awareness, mental health wellness, challenging mental health stigma, particularly in the Black community. She talked about that survival mode is just a mode, right? It's not a lifestyle. And so often we get in a space where we're just surviving. And she laid out for us so many of the signs that alerted her that she was in survival mode. But she came out of that and paid it forward by encouraging mental health access and support to her peers on her college campus. I mean, wow, right? The fact that she was able to identify that there is a need, particularly for Black students, to access mental health on a campus where she herself found challenges with identifying a Black therapist. And so in the description of this podcast, I have added a link to Therapy for Black Girls, where it's access to Black therapists in your area here in the United States. So if you are afraid or concerned or have faced this cultural divide among mental health professionals and feel most comfortable and believe that you will be able to be as transparent as you need to be in therapy, please check out that link. And do yourself a favor if you find that you have signs, many of which Ms. Kent expressed, but other signs where you're in survival mode and you need a space, please find you a reputable, supportive mental health professional that can assist you in this journey of mental health wellness. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for listening and supporting this podcast. And by supporting this podcast, you are supporting the voices and lived experiences of young Black females. I am your host, Dr. Marquita Cherie Dorsey. And until next time, peace and blessings.